Brother Bob, here we go.
Thank you, David. Who knows that God is good?
Amen.
Huh? God is good. So something happened to me this week, which was, it's going to seem trivial, but it's a whole lot less trivial to me than it's going to seem. So Monday, I get a text message from Dave Fritz, and there's an attachment to it, and it says, I just heard this song, and it is, like, awesome. So I was having my prayer time, and I said, well, I don't want to listen to the song now. So a couple days went by, and then I saw his text again, and I clicked on it, and right away I said, oh, yeah, I heard this on the radio. Like, this is awesome. So I played it again and again. Then I downloaded it onto my phone, and I've been playing it all day long. But all week long I've been thinking, I gotta talk to Chris and see if Chris can play it this Sunday. And I forgot. And what's the first song that they played today? The Goodness of God. And that's the song I've been singing all week long. And it was like, thank you, God. God loves me. God loves me. I know he loves you too, but boy, he showed his love to me big time today. So anyway, that's not what I want to talk about, although it's whatever I'm going to talk about, I hope it's going to be good. Do we have a PowerPoint someplace? Am I supposed to push a button? Maybe I'll push this button. I'm not a professional at this thing, you know. I'm just an engineer. Dan, can you give me the first slide? Anyway, I want to talk about our walk with the Lord. It's just something that is big for me. And it looks like something's coming. And so we use the expression "walking with the Lord" about our spiritual life, and that's a good thing. And it talks about our ability to follow Jesus. We sometimes refer to it as our journey. I like to subtitle all my messages "The Journey" because what I come to share, I share out of my experiences, out of what God has done for me. I very rarely will do an expository passage or some biblical exegesis because I ain't very good at it, for one thing. But it's not me. I like to share with what God has done for me. So today, we're all walking together for the next however long it takes me to get through this. Brandy, I have the mic, so it's as long as it takes me to get through this. We're going to talk about my journey and our journey together. So I do have this this passion about journeying, about intimacy with Jesus, and so this message, along with all the other messages that I've done, literally over the last 2 years, have been about my walk with Jesus. I shared in the last few messages, I guess this is kind of recapping the last four messages that I've given since last summer. The first one was on waiting on the Lord and how that builds our faith. And faith is obviously a very important ingredient in our walk with the Lord. I shared also from Mark 6 about God's compelling purposes for our lives. Mark 6 talks about where Jesus commands the disciples to get in the boat and go across the lake, and hours and hours and hours later, he's sitting on the hillside, and he looks out there, and they're still there because they haven't moved very much. And that message was about how we see Jesus in the common everyday things going on in our lives, whether they're dramatic or traumatic, or they're peace and calm. Being able to see Jesus in our daily lives. I spoke about personal prayer after that, and I talked a number of things. But the two key points that I wanted as takeaways was about being honest. Being honest with ourselves and being honest with God. God knows us, and he knows everything about us, but he wants us to know about us, and he reveals things to us about us, and And some of those things are things that he wants to deal with. So honesty is very important. And then, as in any relationship, consistency is very, very important. So that's another message that I gave. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of that today also. And then last message I gave a couple months ago was on strengthening our faith so we can finish well. And I talked about how Jesus is the perfecter of our faith and how he takes us from glory to glory. So let's start with the message. That was just prelude. So I was thinking about New Year's resolution. Something crossed my mind. Like in the second week of the year, I was listening to the radio one day. It was somewhere around the 10th of the month. And the DJ on the radio said, "Oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but this is the day that pretty much if you made a New Year's resolution, you've probably given up on it by now." And I don't know where he got that information, but he just threw that out and said, you know, your New Year's resolutions you started 10 days ago, most of you have given up on them by now. Does that ring true to anybody else but me? I mean, it does happen to me, I think, that when I do it. Well, I'm here to say that the New Year's resolution that I made this year, I am still doing it. My New Year's resolution was to lose 15 pounds. I got on the scale the other day. I have only 17 left to go. And you know what? That would be funnier if it wasn't true. But it is true, and I am working on it, and I just got back from 10 days in Florida to take care of my mom while my brother and his wife went on vacation. And my brother said, "Spoil mom while you're here," which means take her out to eat, take her for ice cream and all of that. And in that 10 days, I lost 1 pound. So I said, "All right, we're doing okay." So what we want to do today is on your New Year's resolution, whether it's a resolution or not, we want to do a heading check. heading checks are very important when you're traveling. So we're talking about traveling, we're talking about journeys. If you're flying a plane, it's good to know where you're going, and that periodically you check in with the radar and it tells you where you are, so that way you get to where you really want to go when you want to get there. Same thing with flying in space, satellite tracking, navigating by stars. Back in the old days, ship days going across the ocean, sailors navigated. So heading checks are very important. So that way you know where you want to go and you know how to get there. So heading checks are important. So heading checks are also important in terms of our walk with the Lord. So where are you going? We all hope we know where we're going. We're going to up there. Was that the second floor you were referring to, Richard, when your friend was pointing up? We're pointing to heaven, and we know we want to go there, and we know that that's our destination. But there's things that need to happen here on earth before that point in time. We all have a destined time that we're going to be here. But we also have work that we need to do and things that we need to about doing. So the question is, how are we doing about that today? How are we doing in terms of progressing what God's plan is for your life? Are we kind of cruising along, going along at a good pace, at the pace that God wants us to go? That's a good thing. Sometimes we do well with that, and sometimes we kind of just are walking along, cruising along, taking our time, and that's a good thing, because a lot of times God gives us opportunities to do things that are challenging, and then he kind of ratchets things back and allows us to learn the lessons that we've had during some of the challenging times. Sometimes he lets us take a break, and we just kind of enjoy ourselves sitting by the roadside. And that's a good thing for us also. Sometimes, though, we get there and we like being there, and we don't get up and get back going again. So that sometimes it becomes challenging for us to get back off the time of resting. And then there are sometimes, hopefully not for you and not very often, this is the best I could do with the moonwalk. It's not all that good, but Mr. Jackson made that good once upon a time. And hopefully we're not walking backwards. Hopefully we're walking with the Lord. So what I want to share today is something that has to do with walking with the Lord, and something that is important, keeping on walking with the Lord. So for those of you who are, I'm going to be careful with the wording. I'll say mature in the Lord. I'll use those words. It could be mature in terms of you've been walking with the Lord for a very long time. It could be that you're just very old. And I'll let you decide how you want to define that. But those of us who have been walking with the Lord for some time can actually get to a place where we feel we've done what we were supposed to do, and now we're done. Hello? I don't think I'm aware of anything, at least in the scriptures, that talk about retirement. But I can share something of my own life where I thought retirement was clearly an option. About 15 years ago, I went through what I would call the dark night in my life, and I was struggling with a number of things, personal things in my life, to the point where, one, I felt like God's call on my life was done, and you know, he didn't say, well done, good and faithful servant, but I felt like he was saying, yeah, I've done all I can with you, or whatever. And then, in addition to that, I didn't want to do anything else. I mean, I got to a point of being quite depressed, to the point where I actually wrote up my letter of resignation and submitted it to the leadership, the rest of the leadership of the New Heritage, and they summarily rejected it and told me that I needed some time off, maybe, but resignation was not being accepted. Retirement was not an option. And so for the better part of 2 years, I did very little here at New Heritage. I took a sabbatical, and I spent a lot of time praying. I didn't come to church all the time. And it was a time basically of reflection for me and trying to get myself back into position to be able to continue moving on. And what ended up happening was during that period of time, a prophetic guy showed up at church one Sunday. We were not even in this church at the time, in this location. We were meeting in a middle school in Ellicott City. And there was an opportunity for him to pray with people. And so I was there that particular Sunday. I didn't want to be there, didn't feel like I should be there. Well, felt like I should be there, but didn't want to be there. And then when there was an opportunity for prayer, I said, well, what the heck? I said, nothing else is working anyway, and I will go. And this guy gave a prophetic word to me. And I know I went and asked, I can't remember if I asked Randy or Fred after that. I said, did you put him up to this? Because you know these prophetic guys, they read your mail. And basically he said to me, he said, this is just kind of a summarization of it. He basically said, by the way, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. God didn't give you any permission to retire. And he's got so much for you to do that you better just get up and do it. And that was like, whoa. So the word itself was great, okay? The word itself was great. But it did something in my spirit and broke whatever was there. And I was instantly converted, if you will. And I was ready to go again. And then I went off and continued doing what I had been doing 2 years earlier and have been doing it ever since. So there's no retirement in the kingdom of God, and it doesn't matter, and I don't, as a matter of fact, so here I am now 15 years or close to 15 years beyond that, and I got more energy today than I did then, you know? And so this is a good thing. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my wife earlier this week. I almost forgot who you were. I almost forgot who I was talking to. And I said, you know what? I have no peers at work. I mean, at least in the project that I work for, and there are no peers. Everybody, all my age, people my age, they're all retired, you know. And they keep asking me, so when are you planning to retire? I got a whole bunch of millennials working for me, and I say, you know, are you leaving? What's your plans? I said, well, I don't know. I'm taking it 1 year at a time. Last year I said I was going to work through 19, and this year I'm saying I'm planning on working through 20, and we'll figure it out. You know, when God gives me another assignment, we'll take it. So anyway, some of you who I called mature in the Lord, I don't know if you're feeling that way. But if you are feeling that way, I think there's hope for you, because there was hope for me, and God was very, very gracious to me. So let me flip the page and talk about you younger people. Uh-huh, yeah. So some of you could be in the have the temptation to think, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I've got everything in front of me right now. Since most of the young people are here, I'm going to talk to this church, okay? With your whole life in front of you, you might feel that, why are you sitting over here, Barclays? Ah, thank you. That's good. That's why I sit there, too. Same reason, young at heart. The temptation that you might feel is, I've got my whole life ahead of me, and right now it's get my career going and get married, or get married and have kids, or get married and have kids and have more kids, and buy a house and do all of this kind of stuff. So the temptation is basically to put your walk with the Lord sort of on hold, kind of like the people that we showed sitting on the side of the road. They're not backsliding or anything. They're just not forward sliding either. So there is that temptation that we all have to not move on with the Lord. And back in December, I was reading in my Utmost for His Highest. It's a devotional that I use quite a bit. I've been using it for, I don't know, 20 years or so. These are the words, and we'll read them together, and I'll leave them on the screen for you to see, too. So he uses Matthew 18:3, and he says, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. These words of our Lord refer to our initial conversion, but we should continue to turn to God as children, being continuously converted every day of our lives. When God, through his sovereignty, brings us into new situations, we should immediately make sure that our natural life submits to our spiritual, obeying the orders of the Spirit of God. Just because we have responded properly in the past is no guarantee that we will do so again. The response of the natural to the spiritual should be continuous conversion, but this is where we so often refuse to be obedient. We must, from Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man. Our natural life must not rule. God must rule in us. To refuse to be continuously converted puts a stumbling block in the growth of our spiritual life. There are whole areas of our lives that have not yet been brought into submission, and this can only be done by this continual conversion. Slowly but surely, we claim the whole territory for the Spirit of God. Does anybody hear that? Putting on the new man, the new creation, is not just a one time when we gave our life to Jesus, it's done. It's a continual moving with the Lord. We talk about following the Spirit of God, and the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, if I got that right, which means wind. Wind implies motion, movement, and the Spirit of God is constantly moving. And if we're following the Spirit of God, we're constantly moving with him, and it's very important for us to do that. I want to quote one other scripture that I want us to take with us today. It's from John 10:10. And in John 10:10, he said, I have come that you would have life and life to the fullest. I don't know, do I have a slide on this one? I guess I don't. Okay, so we'll wait on that takeaway for a little bit. We can miss a lot of this fullness of God if we're not walking with the Spirit. We can miss a lot of this fullness of God if we're not following the Spirit. And it's important that we are honest with God and honest with ourselves. I'm going to share another testimony that's numbered incorrectly over here. Man, I got a lousy typist. So from my earliest years that I can remember, I had this issue, and I didn't know what it was called for a lot of years, but I've come to find out that it's called fear of man. And I had this in me, and I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was some sort of a defect that I had. And when we first moved to Baltimore back in 1978, I had to go buy something from the automotive department at Sears over in Security Boulevard. And I remember walking in, getting what I needed to, going to the register, and giving the man $20 for something that cost $19.95 or something like that. I knew there was a few pennies change coming. So he went in, he put the money in the register, closed the drawer, put the stuff in the receipt in the bag, handed me the bag, and I took the bag, and I remember to this day, I'm sort of embarrassed to say it, but I stood there, I had the bag in my hand, I'm holding, and I'm staring at the guy, just like this. It had to be at least that long, 5 seconds, okay? It had to be at least that long, and finally he said, now why I was doing that is I was paralyzed. He hadn't given me my 5 cents change. And I could not get the words out of my mouth that because I was afraid he would say, really, for 5 cents, you want your change back? Whether he forgot, did it deliberately, I don't know. And I will never know. But I was scared to death to ask because I didn't know what the response was going to be. And so he asked me, is there anything else I can help you with? And that woke me up. And I said, no, thank you. And I left, and I did not get my change. But that had happened to me. Things like that had happened to me again and again and again. And I was embarrassed about it all the time, but I thought it was just a defect. Fast forward a couple of years from there. That was 78. I think it was in the early 80s, 82, 83, 84. I was on a retreat with a whole bunch of guys. And during the course of one of our prayer meetings on that retreat, one of the prophetic guys in the group says, I believe that the Lord wants to heal somebody of fear of man. Deliver somebody of fear of man today. And in my heart of hearts, I said, that is me. That is me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, all you have to do is speak that you need it. And I could feel the Spirit of God in me saying, tell him. I was scared to death to do it, but I did. And I was immediately delivered, and I've never had that problem since then. Yeah! So what's the message? The message isn't that Jesus heals you or delivers you. The message is be obedient to the Spirit of God. The Spirit told me to say it, but my fear of man was saying, you can't. And by being obedient, I was delivered. I want to share one more thing. This one was really crazy. This one only happened a couple of years ago. About, it's been in the house 20 years, somewhere around 18 years ago, I was running on my treadmill, and I did something stupid. I tried to run a whole lot faster than I'm really capable of running. And in the process of doing that, I hyperextended this knee. And I couldn't. I had a hard time walking for the next 6 weeks. I had a brace on it the whole time, but it was uncomfortable. And ever since that point in time, whenever I would go down a set of stairs, the first step that I took with my left leg, I would always get a jolt of pain. And sometimes it would just collapse on me. And sometimes going up the stairs, I would have a similar problem. And a whole bunch of people have prayed with me a whole bunch of times. And then 2 years ago, I think this month, I think it was February, we were getting some painting done. And so we asked Justin Maxim, who was here, Dan's son-in-law, if he would send a painter over to our house. So he did. He sent a painter over to our, a couple of painters over to our house. And during the course of the day, this guy was sharing how he was a missionary from the Czech Republic, and he was here, and he was just doing work while he was on sabbatical. And during the course of discussions with Doris during the day, I was at work, he happened to mention that the Lord had been using him in the Czech Republic. Some of you have heard this message because I think I gave this testimony here last year. But anyway, that Lord had been using him to heal people of knee problems. So Dara shared with him that I had a knee problem. And he goes, oh, he says, well, that's great. He says, will I see him? He said, well, you'll probably be gone before he gets home. He says, okay, so here. He says, he takes his paint stick. This is the one that he used, and on it he just said, Bob's knee be healed in Jesus' name. Place this on his knee. Now, that wasn't place that on his knee. He tore off his dirty paint shirt sleeve, and he said, put that on his knee. You know, that's really stupid. So, but, you know, I came home, and Doris told me this, and she said, he said to do this. And I said, really? So we said, okay, Jesus. So we did that. And the two of us prayed. My prayer was kind of like, Jesus, if this guy ain't crazy, you can heal me even if he is crazy, right? So we prayed. And you know what? I've walked up hundreds or thousands of stairs or down hundreds and thousands of stairs in the last 2 years. And this thing works every time. Every single time. Thank you, Jesus. So what was that about? I think that one was about obeying the Spirit of God, who said, just do this, no matter how stupid it seems, just do it. So I'm going to skip a little bit of this just so that way you can go out to lunch. So we're supposed to put on the new man, the new creation, okay? And that's a day by day walking with the Spirit of God. Two things about that. One is the sooner the better, and the deader the better. The sooner it is that the old man gets dead, the old person, the old whatever nature in you gets deader, the better that it's going to be for you. And you do that by following into what the Lord wants you to do. So the takeaway here is from Ephesians 4:23 and 24. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous, truly holy. So as I suggested earlier, start being honest with yourself. Be honest about what your fears are, what your struggles are, and obey the Spirit of God as he leads. Tell him when you're hurting. Tell him what your fears are. Tell him what your addictions are. And I use addiction in a broad sense. Yeah, there can be alcohol and drug addictions. There can be pornography addiction. But you might be addicted to, forgive me, love. What was I going to say? Watching Hallmark movies. But you can fill in the blank, because Because it could be just television in general. Okay? Instead of having prayer time, instead of soaking in the presence of God, instead of reading stuff that's going to help you, you know, you do other things. Whatever those things are, it doesn't have to be called an addiction. It can just be called not following the Spirit of God, in which case it's sin. Hello? If you're not following the Spirit of God, it's sin. Get someone to pray for you. There's another thing you can take. Get somebody to pray for you. Receive counsel if you need counsel. And have a trusted friend. It's one thing that I've had consistently over the 45 plus years I've been walking with the Lord. I have always had someone that I can trust to tell my troubles to get my deepest sins, my deepest struggles, my deepest fears. I can do that. I share it with Pastor Randy on regular basis. I have two other friends who don't even come to our church. And when I get together with them, I share what is going on in my life. And so what I suggest to you today is if you want to be able to move with the Spirit of God, do some of these things. Be brutally honest with yourself that you're not there yet. Now, if you're there yet, then you must be dead. Okay, and we're seeing a spirit. Okay, but if you're not there yet, find out what God wants for you next and do something about it. Lord, we thank you for our time together this day. We thank you for our worship. I thank you, Lord, for that song about the goodness of God at the beginning of our service today. It has blessed me and put me on the right track. Thank you, Lord, that you are not done with us and you still have work for us to do. Show us what it is. Open our spirits to be open to you for all that you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. Dorothy, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I feel the Lord is saying that this is a word that he has had for the church for a long time. It's really on his heart that we realize that it's an ongoing process, that it's not something that we have to look back and say, well, why am I not where I wanted to be, where I started this walk? The Lord says it's ongoing. And be encouraged and be refreshed because he wants to renew your walk in Yeshua's name.
Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you. All right. Great. Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, we always like to conclude our service with the Aaronic benediction. Tomorrow, if you could come up, please. And if you all would like to stand and join us. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, his shalom. In Yeshua Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Just as a reminder, a prayer team will be up here to my right, to your left, and they'd be happy to pray for you for any need. Amen.